Chase and Michelle, hour number two, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What a weekend it was for college football as we had two excellent semifinal games. I hate that they're on New Year's Eve. I want that to change, but, you know, I can't always get my way from what I've been told. But first up, you had TCU. Never a doubt in my mind. I mean, Michigan, you know, they fought, and you can't rule a good team out. But TCU wins at 51-45 to hold on to the lead. They will move to the national championship. Sonny Dykes doing a fantastic job there at Texas Christian, avenging that loss that they had in the Big 12 championship game. And boy, do I look silly, because I was saying, like, Big 12 team doesn't deserve to be in there with one loss. I'm like, forget
Chase,
that.
Chase, listen.
My SEC bias came out.
People need to put some respect on the Horned Frogs' names.
I know.
Because everyone, they shouldn't be in. The amount of people I heard saying, oh, well, they lost. The only way they'll get in is if they win the Big 12. I was like, no, they are getting in. And that doozy against Texas when the score was like 10-6 or something like that. Listen, the Horned Frogs have heart. And I feel like they are destined for this.
I just pulled a Rex Road.
You did. You totally muted. It's okay. You got excited. But no, I feel like this team, you rarely see it in college football. And, you know, now we're moving to the 12-team playoff. But we talked about so much how the 4-team playoff, it's like we always have a blowout game, or it's not competitive, or there's clearly two teams are just that. They're just 5 steps ahead of everybody else in college football. But this finally is a year where you see a second-year head coach in Sonny Dykes. They were 5-7 the year before.
Yeah, and Sonny Dykes is a good coach.
He has been for a long time. Like, look at what they've done. They're making it seem possible. And now with the 12-team playoff, like, I believe that it will be. We will see teams like a Tennessee. They'll be a contender for years to come. So, I'm rooting for them so bad. I do think Georgia will win again. But, I mean, if
that's for you.
That's my alarm. If TCU does somehow pull it off, this will be the biggest upset since when?
I'm trying to think, but it would definitely be up there. And looking at it right now on the handy dandy Superbook app, TCU a 13.5-point dog against Georgia. Which, I mean, I would take the points all day long.
Superbook.
I know. I mean, but I'm not surprised.
No, I'm not surprised either. And, you know, I personally thought it was going to be Ohio State. I thought that they were going to run away with the game, especially how they performed. And you can ask a lot of what ifs, right, about that game. What if, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't get the concussion and he's still in the game? What if the field goal isn't literally the epitome of far left?
Yeah, and Ricky's just giving it to me on Twitter
trolling.
Right now. He says, Chase tried to tell me TCU wouldn't be squat. This guy. I'm wrong. I'll admit
but
that
you
I was
weren't
wrong.
You weren't alone. A lot of people were saying that, you know, why is this Big 12 team in there? They haven't really played anybody that good. Well, you just went up against Michigan and you handled it. And Max Duggan, I mean, we talk about all the time, right, these quarterbacks in college football and who's going to prevail in the NFL. I mean, look at the two quarterbacks that just took their team to the national championship. Max Duggan and Stetson Bennett. Might be backups in the NFL someday. But, mm-hmm. I mean, pretty cool to see.
Yeah, and Sonny Dykes after the game talked about his quarterback, Max Duggan.
You said this team never gets rattled, and that's because of your leader, Max Duggan. How is he always able to will this team when it matters the most?
Well, he's tough. I mean, he's tough. Nothing bothers him. He's just got that confidence and belief in himself and his teammates. And couldn't be more proud of what these guys have accomplished. And let's go play our tail off next week and win one.
Yeah, and I watched a cool piece before the game on Duggan and how personally he took the loss to K-State. Like, he really put that on him. And, you know, it's a team game. And that, honestly, I think willed them to victory. And why they came out so strong against Michigan on Saturday. And, you know, watching that kid play, you know, whatever his future may be, we'll see. But he was phenomenal. And it was, and that's what made it fun to watch.
Well, and you could see Max Duggan after they lost to Kansas State. I mean, his emotions were very clear. Like, he took it very hard, crying in the press conference because it meant so much to him. And then to come back and be able to show everyone that, hey, we can hang with a Big Ten monster in Michigan and we can go to the college football playoff. And I don't know if you knew this about him, Chaser, people listening, but Max Duggan, 4 weeks before the season started, had a 9-hour heart surgery.
No.
And was there and played every single game for them. So that just shows you, you know, his toughness. When you're talking about he's got heart, like, quite literally, he has heart. So, I mean, it's just an amazing story. And I do think that they will give Georgia a game this year.
I'm done doubting them. I think Georgia's going to win, but I think it'll be a close one. But, you know, speaking of Georgia, they played with fire. I mean, Ohio State comes out, you know, it's 7-7 in the first, and then Ohio State puts up 21 in the second. Can't quite pull away. It was the third quarter where they put up 10 and Georgia was scoreless that you started to think, uh-oh, this is actually going to happen. Ohio State, Ryan Day, they're going to find their way in.
Ryan Day, who looks exactly like Ryan Porth.
A little bit. Do you think?
Exactly what I
really?
Thought the
oh
other day.
Oh, my gosh. He's screaming. Little and I'm bit. Like, I had to double take a couple times on the screen. I'm like, whoa.
Maybe
you look way too much like Ryan Porth.
Maybe it's like his younger brother, though, Michelle. Because he definitely has darker hair.
Yeah, and
a
beard.
A fuller beard, I think. But, yeah, that could be his little brother.
But to your point, I mean, we were sitting at an establishment watching the game. Ohio State was up by 2 scores. And by the time we Ubered to the next place, they were about to kick a field goal to try – or Ohio State was going for the winning drive right to get into field goal range. And we were like, whoa, what the heck happened here? And that's just how – and then Kirby Smart calls the timeout, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right before he's 12 guys on the field, fake punt.
Well, and look – Ryan Day's got to learn to win games like that. Like, he's got to learn to close them out. I mean, that Kirby had that mark for a while, and he finally got over that hump. Ryan Day is going to have to get over that. I mean, it just, you got to win. They were in position to win that game because I thought Georgia scored too fast, which,
yes. You
know, there is people will be like, well, just score. I'm like, nah, there is a thing. That is a thing that you can score too fast. And Ohio State was in prime position to win the game. But I knew when he lined up to kick, I'm like, he's going to miss this. I just knew.
Well, and the laces weren't right too. If you look at, I mean, it wasn't even
doesn't matter.
Close.
You gotta make the kick.
So we're standing watching the game, and I have a friend who is a huge Georgia fan. Went to school there, and I'm watching this screen, and she's standing in front of me, just not talking to anybody, with her hands like praying. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Ohio State's gonna win this thing. I'm like, Ohio State's gonna win this thing, and she is going to freak out. And then of course the kick is wide left.
Yep.
And you see Kirby Smart and Stetson Bennett, their faces just look like, oh my gosh, we just won this thing. Because, I mean, they're probably thinking, oh, well, it's over. You know, made it close. And then they get into their post-game interviews. Stetson Bennett is just, he can't even comprehend it in the moment, which is amazing. We got two incredible games.
The system is set up, and it's like this in playoffs and, you know, in football, in the NFL, that any given day, anything can happen. But do you think that we have the two best teams in the country fighting for the national championship? It's a tough one.
It is a tough one because I still believe that if Alabama got in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look at what Alabama did in the Sugar Bowl.
I mean, Bryce,
45-20,
Bryce,
and they were
Young.
Down 10-0.
Oh, yeah, and then they didn't even – Kansas State couldn't even score after that. They're down 10-0, then they go up 21-10, and – Alabama runs away with it. But I still do believe, and this is why I'm actually, I don't know how you feel about it, Chase, but I am excited for this 12-team playoff because, you know, I look at a year like this year, Tennessee, I do think, could have made a run. Alabama with Bryce Young, they could have made a run. You know, Utah and some of the Pac-12 teams that were up there would have been interesting to see if they could, you know, hang with some of these SEC Big Ten schools. But I don't think I can officially say these are the two best teams in the country.
I can't either because if – let's just say that for giggles, they did a 6-team playoff and they gave 1 and 2 a first-round bye. And so then you would have TCU play Tennessee, and you would have Ohio State play Alabama.
Ooh.
I mean, I think one of the two SEC teams comes out of that.
Yes. Oh, I completely agree.
Like, Tennessee TCU is the tough one.
I know.
I'd probably neutral site. I'd lean.
And Hendon, I'm saying Hendon Hooker healthy too.
Well, if Hendon Hooker's healthy, then I think Tennessee. Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's favorite. But if it's the team that they rolled out against Clemson with Hyatt and Tillman, because if it's.
They would have played.
Yeah, they would have played. I'd say maybe TCU by 3.5 because Milton would automatically make them the underdog.
Yeah, no, I think TCU.
Alabama would have been favored.
I think. You know, they go head-to-head, right? I mean, you mm-hmm. look at these two teams, you got everybody. I would have loved to see a C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, you know, in a college football playoff semifinal. But, no, I mean, Chase, you're right. This year, you know, usually teams are so far above, like Georgia and Alabama for so long have just been so much better. Even Clemson when they had Trevor Lawrence. They're just a couple steps above the rest of the college football world. But this year was finally the year where you're seeing some teams break through, like TCU, like a Tennessee. And I truly believe if Tennessee and Alabama were in it, that maybe we could be seeing a different final two teams in the college football playoff, the national championship game.
But that's what we got, Georgia and TCU, and we'll air that next Monday night as they will meet for the national championship. In Los Angeles, going to be interesting for sure. Just seeing this, no surprise here, but Dane Brugler reporting Alabama quarterback Bryce Young, running back Jamari Gibbs, and edge Will Anderson will declare for the 2023 NFL draft. Young and Anderson, of course, probably going to be in the top three. So that no surprise for sure after that big victory. Coming up next, we're going to look at the NFL and how Week 18 is shaping up to be a fun one when it comes to the playoffs, because there's two quarterbacks that basically have told everybody to hold their beer. We'll do that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic here with you. I've almost said Chase Willie and D. Mace every time. So
in my head, I kind of say Chase Willie and D. Mace.
Yeah, I've got to get used to it.
R.I.P.
Caroline.
Long live.
I'm not dead. Caroline will take over starting in about 45 minutes. So looking forward to that. Caroline, Willie and D. Mace, the debut edition of that show. So we know the schedule for Saturday at 3:30 on ESPN, ABC, Chiefs, Raiders. And then the nightcap will be the Titans and the Jags in a winner-take-all matchup for the AFC South. Titans at 7-9, Jags at 8-8 in that one. Whoever wins the AFC South and punches their ticket to the playoffs. I assume that's going to be Buck and Aikman?
Yeah.
I would think so.
I would assume it's that crew.
Yeah, it would be the Monday night crew. So that'll be cool for sure. They have not released the Sunday schedule because I think they're waiting for tonight to see if what the Bengals do, which I would take the Bengals tonight.
I am choosing the Bengals. I think they are surging, you know, at the right time. You look at how they performed last year, slow start, and then obviously we know they had the huge run to the playoffs, to the Super Bowl, and it kind of feels the same way. And Joe Burrow, I mean, he's incredible. I mean, he's 3-0 on Patrick Mahomes. This Bills team, we've seen some flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen hasn't been the most accurate, right? We know he's got a big body. He can run. He doesn't care to take a tackle. But this Bengals team, I'm definitely taking the Bengals tonight. I feel very confident. It's also in Cincinnati.
Yeah, in Cincinnati. Bengals a 1.5-point home dog.
But as you mentioned, if the Bengals do win tonight, the Sunday game could potentially be them and the Ravens for the division.
Well, no, I mean, if they win tonight, they got it. They've clinched it, because that would put them at 12-4, and the Ravens are 10-6. So they would have, if they lose tonight.
If they lose tonight and then the Ravens and them could yep. be up for the division.
I think the Sunday night game is going to be Lions-Packers.
And I can't wait till the Lions beat the Packers and they yeah. don't go to the playoffs.
I mean, Lions still need some help, but or Packers still need – they both need some help. But I think it could potentially be that. But we'll see.
Well, Rex Road made a good point because if the Seahawks win on Saturday, then the Lions are already yeah. out.
Right. Yeah, then it doesn't matter. So but again, we'll get the full schedule tonight after, you know, during Monday Night Football after the games for Week 18. It's going to be a fun one. But I'll tell you this, Buccaneers, Tom Brady, I mean, it was a fun game. I enjoyed watching that one yesterday. I mean, he's in hold my beer mode. That's a bad division, just like the AFC South. The NFC South is almost just as bad. I would say the AFC South is probably worse, but, you know, but now you've got Brady in. No matter what happens against the Falcons, I mean, does he play? He probably plays, but starts. But
he'll play because he'll start.
Because there's a winning record on the line.
Yeah, there's a winning record. But, I mean, you don't want to be anywhere near Tom Brady in the playoffs.
No.
And I think it's they would play the Dallas Cowboys the first round, which if I'm the Cowboys, I am a little nervous about that. I mean, I know the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's Brady.
I don't care. The Cowboys are a better team.
The Cowboys lost to the Jags.
Yeah, but I think the Jags are a better team than the Bucks right now.
True, but I also will never count Tom Brady out.
Sure.
I don't even care if he has a worse team.
Yeah.
The guy will be in hold my beer mode, Chase.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, of course the Cowboys are a better team and will be the favorite to win, but...
In the NFC, the team that I probably doubt the most would be the Vikings.
Yes.
I mean, the Vikings are they're a fake 12-4. I mean, they just they are. Every time I think like I start to believe in them and Kirk Cousins, they just
disappoint.
Screw with me.
I thought at least it would have been a close game with the Packers. Yeah. Packers completely ruled over them.
Yeah. But I mean, look, if the Eagles lose and Dallas wins the one seed and the NFC East, and so then the Eagles would play the Bucks is how that would work. And then either way, I think it's a tough matchup for Brady and company, but they get to host because of the way the rules are. The division winner would host a playoff game, just like the Vikings would too. And the Vikings would play. Who would the Vikings play? Vikings would play the Giants, I think.
Yeah, right. 49ers
would play either the Seahawks, Lions, or Packers, whoever wins that seventh seed. And then the 49ers would play the Giants. And look, I don't sleep on the Giants. What Brian Daboll's done has been impressive.
It has. They've fallen off a little bit, right? In the beginning of the season, they're rolling, fallen off a little bit. But, I mean, this San Francisco team, their defense.
Brock Purdy.
Mr. Irrelevant. I think that they could go to the Super Bowl.
Potentially.
I mean, Brock Purdy, like, if he could just be serviceable and not have bad turnovers and let the defense, you know, really carry this team, 49ers look great right now. And then, you know, the Eagles, you mentioned they could potentially face Tom Brady and the Bucks. Nobody knows really what's going on with Jalen Hurts and whether he's going to play this upcoming week or how severe his shoulder injury really is. And, I mean, that's huge. Yeah, they have a decent backup, but, I mean, without Jalen Hurts, your team is completely different. And it's sad because this Eagles team has had, you know, I mean, they were undefeated for much of the season, only two losses right now. But, I mean, if your quarterback's hurt, I can't really see them going far in the playoffs.
Raymond in Franklin says, Brady can be in hold my beer mode all he wants. It's light beer. It doesn't count.
No, it's avocado. It's avocado avocado tequila.
Yeah,
he needs the no cals.
Well, you know, we've seen him on that before. And then in the NFC or the AFC, I should say, I don't believe in the Bills like I once did, and the Bills were my Super Bowl pick.
Yeah.
I am very much on the Joe Burrow train and the Bengals. I love watching Burrow. The Chiefs, I don't write them off because of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, but I think they need the one seed more than anybody. They need to be the one seed. If they're not, then I don't know if I'd trust them as much. And I mean, if the Bills win tonight, they're still in contention for the one seed. Bengals could put, I think the math works that they need some help, but they could still get it.
Yeah.
The intriguing thing would be if you're the Titans, let's say you beat Jacksonville, you win the division, you're the fourth seed, you're going to host a playoff game. Would you rather have the Chargers or the Ravens?
Ravens, 100%.
I agree.
100%. I mean, yeah, you went to LA and you played a close game with Justin Herbert and the Chargers, but I mean, he's clutch. When you have a quarterback like that in the playoffs, that's what's held the Titans back is their quarterback play in the playoffs. But this Chargers team, I mean, let's not forget at the beginning of the season with all the acquisitions they got, everybody was picking them as their Super Bowl pick. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of injuries, but this team is slowly but surely starting to get healthy at the right time, and they easily could make a run. I would 100% rather play the Ravens.
Yep. Yeah, I would too. Even with Lamar, if Lamar comes back, he's not going to be 100%.
No.
So I don't.
He also hasn't played for a couple weeks now.
I know. And I just don't think the Ravens are all that good.
No, they're not. I mean, Lamar at the beginning of the season was, I mean, people were talking about him in the MVP conversation, but they really fell off. And then now with Lamar out with the injury and unsure of how severe it is, they have fallen off. They were my Super Bowl pick at the beginning of the year, but now if I had to choose, I would go.
The Ravens were?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought that they were going to be that surprise team that was going to kind of prevail, which didn't happen. I mean, still a playoff team, but mine, if I had to choose right now, Bengals and Niners. What about you, Chase?
I would probably go Bengals out of the AFC.
It's a hard one.
Cowboys.
Homer.
Yeah, a little. But look,
the heart wants what the heart wants, Chaser.
It's the defense.
Oh, 100%,
that I like. Dak's got to play better. I mean, I'll say that. Dak has made some pretty dumb throws as of late, but including a couple against Kevin Byard. Which that was cool. I mean, that Byard was able to get that record. Coming up next, we will talk to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, get his thoughts on the NFL, the Titans, the Vols, all of that. Coming up next, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's say hello to our friend Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, who is with us. And Hutt, usually you're Wednesdays at noon with now Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, but nice enough to do a little extra this week. So good to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and congratulations on the show, Michelle, you as well. And
thank you, Hutton.
Hey. And, you know, I used to, you know, be on radio where we were not allowed to share guests, and I refuse to do that with you, Chase. Well, I'm going to be on any show I want to be on, Chase. So,
I appreciate that, you know? I appreciate that. I want to start in college football with the Vols. I mean, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
I know it's one game, but, I mean, you watch that game against Clemson, and Joe Milton looked good. Squirrel White was fun to watch. And I know I sat there thinking, all right, people that are talking about maybe a step back, and they very well could take a step back next year with Joe Milton right now in line to be the starter. It could be Nico. Who knows? I actually feel a lot better about this Vols team and the job that Josh Heupel's doing. And I think they could be more of a contender than maybe people are giving them credit for. What do you think?
I mean, I don't personally trust Joe Milton. Okay.
And that's fair.
Let me start there. Consistency wise, game to game. But I saw more from him in the game against Clemson and the overall plan. I thought Heupel's plan was really, really good considering they were down Hooker, Banks, Hyatt, Tillman, Flowers. Tennessee played with great intensity, attitude, determination, and that was all night long. And I thought it was the most impressive effort of coaching. And effort-wise from a team that in the two seasons under Heupel, I really do, just given the fact that they were down their stars, quote-unquote. And I'm impressed, and I'm excited to see the team develop. You guys know I'm not a Tennessee guy, quote-unquote. But Milton, to me, offers a he's not going to be Hendon Hooker, and it's really hard for me not to judge him on that. But the thing I want to see him develop is just the touch. It's not the deep ball. It's not the, okay, can he not stop overthrowing players? I just want to see him not throw a 100-mile-per-hour fastball on a, you know, a 9-yard out, or stop and go. So I'm intrigued to watch him this offseason, and I do think he's the guy right now. I mean, they didn't enter the portal. They didn't go try to search for one. And Nico, you know, still needs time to develop too. I have no idea what he's going to come in and look like compared to what we've already seen from Milton. So, look, they've already chosen him once over Hendon Hooker, and now he's sticking around for another year. So, I mean, Vols fans should be optimistic, but 11-2 is really tough to accomplish again.
Yeah, look, no doubt. Now looking at the Titans and another Vol that comes in at quarterback, Joshua Dobbs. I know Titans fans and everybody talking about it, even though they lost their 6 in a row, felt much better about things, even in a loss to Dallas. Mike Vrabel has not committed to Josh Dobbs as a starter, even though I think we all know that he's going to start against Jacksonville Saturday night. What are the odds you give the Titans to going into Jacksonville with Derrick Henry, with Josh Dobbs, and coming out of there with a win and winning their third straight AFC South?
Well, not good. So, like, it's not like it's there. There's not a great option at quarterback. Dobbs is the better option of what they have, and it's obvious. Like, imagine the reaction if somehow news comes out on Saturday morning that Malik Willis is starting this game. Like, not the reaction from us or the fans. Think about the locker room.
Yeah.
After the way they performed against Dallas versus what we've seen the previous 3 weeks. Now, here's why I say it's not good. It has nothing to do with Dobbs or the receivers or Henry. It's the offensive line. It's the penalties. And the fact that this is a defense that, while they were opportunistic against Dallas in the first half, it's a defense that also has some players that panic in crucial moments of games. And they haven't turned that switch off. They have a better option at quarterback, but this offensive line is still awful. And I think Jacksonville's just playing at a different level. They had nothing to gain last week or yesterday, nothing to gain. And they boat raced Houston. Took the starters out through three quarters, midway through the third. 28-3 was the score. ETN, Trevor Lawrence, say what you want. I wouldn't have played Lawrence, but this is Doug Peterson sending a message that Vrabel doesn't have to send to his veteran squad. It's a young group, Chase. And he's saying, hey, we have to keep our pedal to the floor. And here is how we go about doing it. And they did it. I don't think they come in lackadaisical or somehow not with it, with their, you know, all full steam ahead. And the Titans have to figure out a way to beat that when right now they're beating themselves way too often.
We've got Jonathan Hutton on with us from Outkick 360. Staying on the Titans for a second, Jonathan, and taking a step back, next season, do you think that the Titans should stay on Ryan Tannehill, run it back with this group and try to go for it again? Or do you think that it's time for this team to, you know, take a look at maybe releasing some of the veteran players and trying to go for a rebuild?
Well, so it's yes and no. I think they should bring back Tannehill. Should they bring back this group? Absolutely not. We don't even have to discuss that. Amy Adams Strunk has already told us that. Yeah. She fired the general manager not because of injuries, but because of the lack of talent. And if it were just injuries, they wanted to run it back. Well, those guys get healthy, and Robinson's still here. So I don't think that the core group, quote-unquote, is back intact. Taylor Lewan, Bud Dupree, Robert Woods, there's a Zach Cunningham. There's no need to bring back these high-priced players that have not lived up to the money based on expectation. They're paying way too much to Zach Cunningham to drop that interception against Houston, against his former team. Robert Woods has not stepped up in big moments that have produced big wins. And far too often, he's MIA. And Bud Dupree is either in the training room or he's not playing at the level that Harold Landry stepped up and played opposite him a year ago. So, yeah, I have no reason to believe that you bring them back if you can save money on the cap. Tannehill's interesting because Tannehill showed a sense of toughness mm-hmm. with this group this year. And he's always been known as a tough quarterback. But I think he gained a lot of respect in that regard. And if you start to look at options, if you go young, well, they tried to develop a young quarterback and have a guy that they may be able to turn to in Willis. Malik Willis is not that dude. And I'm not even sure if he's a good backup, quite frankly. And Tannehill, if you compare him to others across the league, you don't want to trade your picks for a new general manager and go try to get like Derek Carr, for instance, because you need picks to build up a young core in order to have another window of opportunity. I think there's a way to keep the window open in the AFC South, but the bring the group back and try to get back to what they were in 2019 and 2020, I just don't think they're anywhere close to that. And potentially we're seeing, Michelle, four of the five starters in the offensive line completely overhauled. Now, they can hit on that, but normally that takes time. And normally, you know, it takes a little bit longer than even what Cincinnati went through this year. So I think they know what's ahead. I don't know if they have to call it a rebuild. But, man, I mean, I'm looking at these changes and I'm thinking, how can you not overhaul a roster that the ownership just told us simply isn't good enough?
Well, let's stay in the quarterback room for a second. Peter King actually came out with an article saying that the Titans are already ready to move off of Malik Willis. Do you think, you know, with Josh Dobbs' performance, yes, I know only 1 week mm-hmm. and probably will start next week. Could he have a chance to be Tannehill's backup next year and this team could already be ready to move off of Malik Willis?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we're already saying he should start in a win the AFC South championship game. In his, he was here, what, 8 days, 9 days yeah. before he played a game. First career start, first touchdown pass. And he wasn't great, but he was decisive. They had explosive plays. They actually ran the offense. And with Malik Willis, who has been here since the draft, he was far light years better than that guy who they have had a chance to quote-unquote develop, whether or not you want to buy that or not. What I do know is they don't trust him to throw the ball more than 16 times in a game on attempts. His high, I believe, is 23. They let Dobbs throw it 39 times. So, yes, I absolutely believe that. And nothing else tells us more. I mean, Peter King can certainly be hearing from someone within the organization, but I can just look and see what Mike Vrabel and his staff did. They benched Malik Willis on a short week and put in Josh Dobbs, who had been there less than the time that the Titans are going to have off to now prepare for the Jacksonville Jaguars on Saturday. That's all I need to know. Malik Willis was benched. He wasn't rested. It was obvious from the get-go that that was the case, because if he was resting, you put someone in there not named Josh Dobbs, not making a first career start, not this, that, and the other. And instead, they treated Malik Willis like the guy who had been there for 9 days.
He's Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. We will see how things shake out coming up Saturday night in Jacksonville on ESPN. Hutton, appreciate it as always. And we'll be listening 2 to 5 every day on 94.9 The Fan. You and Chad Withrow. Chutton, as Chutton. We affectionately like to call them.
Thanks, Hutton.
Yes. By the way, Chase, tomorrow we have our Chutton Awards. I'm not joking about this.
Oh, boy.
We have our Chutton Awards that we're handing out tomorrow afternoon. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Chad's been in Nebraska. We would have done this last week prior to the new year. But there's been a lot of preparation on our finalists, our nominees, and then our winner. So I can't wait.
Oh, going to be a fantastic listen. Thanks, man. Appreciate it as always.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. He'll also join Caroline Willie and D-Mace Wednesday at noon for his weekly visit as well. Coming up next, we'll reset Josh Dobbs. He has to start, right? We'll do that coming up next on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
anybody on the staff, scouting wise or coaching staff, have any prior connection to him to kind of give you some insight on him?
I don't think nobody coached him per se. I think just, the evaluations that we've had from him in the past and kind of what he's done and his ability to, he had some, veteran presence, not a whole lot of, game experience, but certainly has been around and been in this league and, is prepared. And that was something that was evident from an early point in time when he got here.
That's Mike Vrabel on his evaluation of Joshua Dobbs after starting his first NFL game in a loss to Dallas. But the offense certainly looked like it had a little something. The Titans conversation will continue coming up on Caroline Willie and D-Mace. The Titans still have fight in them as they will take on Jacksonville in a winner-take-all, loser-leaves-town match, as I like to call it, coming up Saturday in Jacksonville. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Kieser here with you, debut edition of Chase and Michelle. And Mike Vrabel being noncommittal on a starter, okay, no surprise. Coaches like to play games, whatever. They're going to start Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs is going to be the starter for the Titans. You don't have Ryan Tannehill anymore. He's on IR right now for this team. So I think, as Jonathan Hutton was just saying, your better of two evils, however you want to put it right now, is going with Josh Dobbs. But I liked how the offense moved, even in a loss to Dallas. Dobbs attempted 39 passes, completed 20 of them. Okay, it's not awful, not great. Mm-hmm. Especially early on, you could tell there were some jitters.
Well, and they also had no run game.
You didn't have Derrick Henry. You have a makeshift offensive line. And, Dobbs had been in the building for 8 days. So there was that. Now you have more time to prepare. This is one thing that I think might be a little overlooked right now, because we just found out that the game was going to be Saturday night. The Titans had the mini bye, and Jacksonville is going to be on a short week.
Yes.
So I think that does help things. And you're going to have Henry and Simmons and some other guys on extra rest to come in for this winner-take-all game. What happens, if they win and what happens after that, who knows? But I certainly think that gives the Titans a little bit of an advantage having that extra rest time.
Well, and especially the guys on defense who you sat last week. You played Thursday night, but then you also sat them, so they have that much extra time. And if you take a look at the defense, right, Simmons has practically been injured for a majority of the season. He's had a lot of rest. Danico Autry, hopefully David Long Jr. is going to be a guy who could get off IR this week. We saw him in the locker room last week, which is usually a sign that they're kind of getting back into things. He would be a huge get in their final spot designated to return. That's their last spot on IR. And then Hooker and Fulton. So if you get all of those guys healthy, coming off a rest, they didn't have those guys when they played Jacksonville in Nissan Stadium. I mean, that completely changes your defense.
Yeah.
So I do think that they'll be able to contain Jacksonville. The biggest worry I have is, can they actually put up enough points to compete with Jacksonville? I mean, they only put up 14 points on Thursday night, and everybody's like, Oh my gosh, the offense looked incredible. But okay, they scored 14 points.
13.
Oh, 13.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think they're going to play better against Jacksonville than they did a few weeks ago when they just got, destroyed here. But you got to take care of the football, and that's going to be their key. They got to take care of the football, and then the defense, if the defense can get some stops and the Titans just put up, I've heard 20 points thrown out there that maybe you can win. Might need more.
27 is the most they've put up all season, and that was the Packers game.
Yeah.
So,
the key is going to be the defense. The defense is going to have to keep them in the games, and that's what happened Thursday night. The defense kept the Titans in the game. You go into the half, and you're feeling. I mean, if you're a Titans fan, you're trying not to get your hopes up, but you're feeling okay. Like, okay, all right, this has been better than I expected. Dak was forcing some throws. Byard made some great plays to get those picks, but they couldn't get to him. They only sacked him one time. So that's another thing. You're going to have to get pressure on the quarterback. Having Simmons and Autry in there, I think, will help that. But That's going to be the key for me, is just how the defense plays.
Well, and if you look at the first part of the season when the team was far healthier, up until that Green Bay game, the Tennessee Titans defense were on a six-game streak of recording three sacks and one interception per game. So that was the last active streak of a team doing that was like the 85 Bears. Mm-hmm. So that was the level this defense was performing at. And then you saw the big drop-off after Thursday Night Football in Green Bay. The guys started to – injuries started to stack up, and this defense was just different. And then you have the Todd Downing DUI. You have the firing of the general manager, and you have all of this snowballing. But, you know, a healthy defense, that was what they were doing at the beginning of the year. And if they can get back to attacking the quarterback, which they haven't been able to do in the six-game losing streak – I think that we'll see a better game. And I do think that the Titans can win this game. But, like you said, Josh Dobbs got to take care of the football, and they can't shoot themselves in the foot with penalties upon penalties.
They have very little room for error.
Very little room.
And that's going to be, you know, the thing. If they can play mistake-free football, not turn the ball over, get the play action going with Dobbs and Henry – I think you might see more design runs with Dobbs. I felt like a lot of it was just he was making a play, but you can do some of that. Then they might have a chance. I mean, but Jacksonville's playing good ball right now. Jacksonville's a confident team, and I don't think the Titans are a confident team. And that, to me, is very, very important of how can Mike Vrabel get his team to have that belief and have that confidence going into Saturday night.
Well, and after the game on Thursday night, I will say – when interviewing the players, I felt a sense of they almost, I don't want to say felt good after a loss, but they didn't look as defeated because I think they felt confident in what Josh Dobbs was able to do for them on Thursday night.
One note I'm just seeing on the Winter Classic, which is coming up today, Chris Letang not going to play in that as his father passed away. He's returned to Montreal. So just seeing that from Nick Constanica putting that out there. But I keep forgetting that it's not January. Usually it's January 1st that they play that, but that one coming up from Fenway Park should be fun.
Love Fenway. Best park ever.
I still have to go. I went to Wrigley this summer. But
you have to go to Fenway. It's incredible.
Yeah. So I need to check that. Maybe this summer I'll go to Boston.
The Green Monster needs a visit from you.
It does. It would be good because I am a baseball fan. That's going to do it for us. Great show debut from Chase and Michelle. We'll be here every day, 9 to 11. Nick Kieser along for the ride with us. You're going to have to come up with a good closing song like we have for now Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace.
Yeah, I can. I'll think of something.
We'll come up
no
with
more
something.
Wild Thing.
No more Wild Thing. Well, you can bring Wild Thing here if you want. I'll approve
we'll
that.
Take it.
I'll approve that. But Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, the debut coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.